KSLR is proud to feature our Church of the Week. Our desire is that you'll get to know the pastors and churches in our community and find a church you and your family can call home. Here's the host of the Church of the Week program, Director of Ministry Development, Mark Longoria.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to this program entitled Church of the Week. My name is Mark Longoria. I'm the Director of Ministry Development here at AM 630 KSLR. And you are, in fact, listening to The Word in South Texas. We come to you every weekend on Saturdays and Sundays to introduce to you different pastors, different ministries in the area, because we want to make sure that all of our listeners are plugged into a place here that they can call their own community church. We want to make sure that, I know we appreciate you guys listening and hearing all the great messages and the Word of God that comes through these frequencies and online. However, we don't want that to be the substitute. We want for you guys to make sure that you're going to a local church and that you have a pastor, someone that you can walk up to and shake hands with and have someone pray for you, and that you have brothers and sisters in Christ there in your local community that can encourage you and pray with you and things like that. So that's why we bring you the Church of the Week. And this week we are featuring Free Grace Baptist Church with Pastor Tim Goad. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you, Mark.
Pleasure to have you here. I know you've been a friend of the radio station for a while, so
right.
We thank you and welcome you once again into the studio. Mm-hmm. Let's just kind of give everybody a little bit of a background. Tell us who you are, where you come from, and all that other good stuff about you.
Well, I am Pastor Tim Goad. I've been pastoring Free Grace Baptist Church since 1997. Prior to that, I was in the military, in the Air Force. I'm a retired Air Force Master Sergeant.
All right.
Spent a lot of time in Germany. Also pastored a church in the tiny village of Mailingen, Germany, for a few years before moving to San Antonio.
When you were in Germany, were you an Air Force chaplain? Were you?
No.
You're just kind of doing it on the side?
Just doing it on the side.
Okay, cool.
Right. Free Grace itself has actually been in existence for over 20 years now. It was started as a Spanish-speaking ministry.
Really?
Pastor Ken Billings, who was a missionary to Mexico, came to San Antonio after his mission tour was over, and he decided he would start a Spanish-speaking ministry here. And one thing led to another, and it turned out that we had more non-Spanish speakers coming to church than we did Spanish speakers. Imagine that in San Antonio.
Yeah, right.
So we started a predominantly English-speaking ministry with a Spanish-speaking ministry kind of through translation. We still do that today, as a matter of fact. So. And like I said, I came on board in 1997 and have been the pastor there ever since.
So how's your Spanish?
Not very good.
Taco enchilada.
Taco enchilada. Exactly. Yo quiero Taco Bell. You know, stuff like that, right? Which is not a paid endorsement.
Okay, right.
Anyway,
right.
So, yeah.
Very good. Are you a family man? You got family, children, grandchildren?
I have a family.
Yeah.
My wife, Dana, and I have three lovely children, grown children now. We have Amy, who lives in Denver, Colorado. My son, Chris, is in the Air Force. He's in Sacramento, California. Right now, he's in Afghanistan doing a second tour of duty over there. And my daughter, Natalie, is studying to be a vet tech and working at a veterinary clinic in New Braunfels. So.
Excellent.
Grown children.
And you said you took you came over in 1997?
Right.
Yeah. And at what point in your life did you just realize, you know what, I'm called to ministry, I'm going to be doing this all my life?
It was actually in Germany. Back in December of 1989, the pastor of the church there in Germany asked me if I would do a watch night service, which is something that a lot of churches do traditionally on the 31st of December, you know, New Year's Eve.
Right.
And he had me do a sermon because I had shown some interest in being able to minister to others in that capacity. And I put together a sermon, which I'm not quite sure what I preached on anymore. But
I'm sure it was good, though.
Oh, no, it was not very good.
At least you're an honest man.
I do have it on tape under lock and key.
Yeah.
But needless to say, that really started my ministry opportunity from there. There were certain people, praise the Lord, who recognized a gift there.
Wow.
And that gift has just been, the Holy Spirit has developed that gift and honed that gift to get me where I am today.
And from then on, you just figured this is what I'm called to do.
This is something I'm called to do. That's right.
Wow. And so was the pastor gone that evening, or he just wanted to kind of let you kind of push you out the nest? Or
he actually pushed three or four of us
okay.
up in the up in the pulpit and gave us a hand at doing what he does.
Yeah.
I think it was partially in a way to humble us, which it did, but also to recognize and to see if there were any gifts, you know, latent gifts there that might be called and might be honed and,
yeah.
and so on. So.
Speak to us from your experience in Germany. I know that there are other religions that, religion itself has just kind of gone rampant in
right.
Europe.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot of relationship with Jesus Christ. And so how does the Church of God differ from Europe as, you know, in comparison to here?
Well, the Church in Germany in particular, it being a quasi-socialist nation, differs greatly from the Church here in the United States. For example, it's much more political. If you're a German citizen, you pay taxes to either one of two church entities. You pay taxes to either the Katholisch, the Catholic Church, or the Evangelisch Church, which is the Evangelical Church. And so people there largely view the church as just another extension of the government.
Oh, wow.
And that's why there's some resentment to the church. There's really not this fervency that you might expect coming from the cradle of the Reformation. That was one of the most eye-opening things, I believe, to me, you know, being in Germany for nearly 10 years. It was just really eye-opening to recognize that this is the cradle of the Reformation. This is where Martin Luther himself came from. And yet, by and large, it's just a spiritually dead place.
So how do you penetrate that mindset against what you teach to break the barriers of, you know what, they're just another entity we got to pay tax to?
Well, apart from simply living before them in a Christian way, putting Christ on display, as it were, apart from that, it's really a very difficult task. Now, we had it somewhat easier than most churches there because our church was largely made up of military members. And so we kind of had a built-in situation there. We had very few. I think we had two families in a church of over 200 that were actually from the economy, from the local German population.
Yeah.
So it's just a dead place.
Now, we have a large number of Muslim communities that's growing in Germany and in different parts of Europe. How do we, being over here, still get out there and really reach those people with the truth of Jesus Christ?
Well, one of the things that I found most effective, and I've used this phrase over and over in my personal ministry for years, is we need to drive home to believers that we are no better than anyone else on the planet.
Yeah.
We are better off, certainly, since we believe that Christ has atoned for our sins, that we will go to heaven on the merits of his righteousness,
correct,
and so on and so forth. But I think one of the phrases that I heard long ago that best sums this up is, the Christian should maintain a posture of being one beggar telling other beggars where they can find bread.
Right.
And if we couch things in that term and in those terms, and we're not in people's faces with the gospel, and we don't make the gospel itself an offensive thing, it will be offensive enough, Jesus says, just by virtue of what it teaches.
Right.
But we ourselves don't need to be offensive.
They're supposed to know us by our love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And no one was ever coerced into the kingdom of God by people who look down on them or condescend to them. I think the gospel does its job, and we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to do his job. We can talk all day long, but unless the Spirit of God is in it, it's not going to result in anything anyway. So
when you end up transferring or whatever, you end up coming over here to San Antonio, is it because the military brings you, or did you get out of the military and then move over here?
Yeah.
Military brought you over here. And how did you end up there at Free Grace Baptist Church?
Well, I was going to another local church here in town, and Free Grace Baptist Church is actually one of a handful of churches in the South that are actually known as Reformed Baptist. Our doctrine is very similar to what would be Presbyterian doctrine, in that we believe in what are called the doctrines of grace. We believe that if any man is to be saved, it's by God's grace alone that he is saved, not human merit, human works, and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
And Reformed Baptist churches are not that well known in the South. They're really known in the Northeast and in Central United States, Michigan and places like that. But when I got here and was going to the other church, I did not know that Free Grace Baptist Church existed until I was made aware of that by a certain contact that I had. And so I went to Free Grace in 1996. They learned then that I had pastored in Germany for a little while, and they installed me as an elder, and I co-labored with Pastor Ken Billings, who was the senior pastor at the time. I co-labored with him until just about 6 months ago. Pastor Ken ended up moving to Arkansas, and I kind of assumed the mantle of the sole pastor of Free Grace Baptist Church.
All right. Well, I know that's a big responsibility, and
it is.
A lot of stuff that you've got to go through as a pastor.
Right.
What were some of the things that you took a look at and said, okay, I'm sure that you know, to fill the shoes of Pastor Ken is just it's a big task in itself. What are some of the things that you looked at and said, okay, I'd like to make a change here or a tweak there? Is there anything in particular that you made changes to in the church that were just a better fit for your style or your ministry?
Not really. You know, by and large, we believe that the most important aspect of our meeting together each Lord's Day is to preach the Word, to minister to people in such a way as they can hone their own gifts and in turn minister those gifts to everyone else in the church and build the church up. It's Ephesians 4.
That's right.
And that's our mentality at Free Grace. So we're really not keen on modern church growth movements, the emergent church. We don't believe that pragmatism is the way to build a church. We believe very firmly that Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we leave that up to him. And we think the means that he uses to bring that about is the preaching of the unadulterated word of God.
Right.
And we do that through expository, verse by verse, precept upon precept preaching. So
someone's listening, decides, you know what, I like what Pastor Tim's saying. I'm cool with that. I want to go by and visit. What are they going to expect? What can they expect when they walk through the doors there?
Well, they can expect to be greeted by a lot of loving, kind, genuine people. That's one of the things that really thrills my heart the most is Free Grace is in a very good place now. It's not always been that way. We've, as any church, we've always, you know, experienced trials throughout the years. But right now we're at a what I call a happy place. The Lord is really blessing our church. We have a very close-knit but not cliquish membership. And so they can expect to be warmly received. They can expect to be ministered to. They can expect to hear the Word of God proclaimed unashamedly, both in the Sunday school hour, which is actually not your traditional Sunday school. It's more of a preaching service as well, and in the 11 o'clock hour and the 1:30 service as well. So,
you've been listening to Pastor Tim Goad of Free Grace Baptist Church here in San Antonio. Their address is 1801 Thorane Boulevard. Did I say that right?
Thorane. Yes.
Thorane Boulevard. They're off of I-10 and West Avenue. And their Sunday school is at 9:45 a.m. and their morning worship begins at 11 a.m. Afternoon worship is at 1:30 p.m. and they also have a service, midweek service on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to get a hold of Pastor Tim or someone there on staff at the church, you can call area code 210-683-0414. And if you'd like to go online and take a look at some of the teachings and sermons from Pastor Tim Goad, you can always go to sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist. And you'll have a list there of different ministries or different sermons, rather, that that you can listen to. Pastor, tell us a little bit about some of the ministries within your church. What is there a certain focus that you guys have? Obviously, other than Jesus Christ,
right.
But like there's some different churches, you know, that just kind of really have a big heart for missions.
Well, that sound you heard was my thought process
that was,
coming into full bloom.
Okay.
There, right?
The light went on.
Right, right. The light went on. Thanks for the sound effects there, Mark.
Okay.
really, we have a focus that's pretty myopic. I mean, we focus on Christ and Him crucified, and we proclaim the gospel. consistently. But we do have other ministries. We have a very vibrant prison ministry.
Yeah.
We also have a nursing home ministry. We do a lot of work with the SAM shelter, Haven for Hope.
Great.
The Transitional Living and Learning Center. We do a lot of work for them as far as providing some of the necessities that they need, food, clothing, things of that nature. So there are plenty of opportunities to minister.
Tell me about the prison ministry, because that's not too common. I mean, I know that it's biblical, some we have to do, but Jesus said, I was in prison, you came to visit me. Quite frankly, we get to know so many different ministries, and, mm-hmm. and few have actually a ministry where they go into into where they're at and teach them there. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we have a brother in our church, Brother Jeff Wilson, who is very gifted in the area of evangelism and has a huge passion for prison ministry and the like. And he has arranged through the various chaplains in each of the units in the South Texas area. He's arranged to put together a schedule where we take about sometimes 15, 20 men into the prison system. Mm-hmm. We've been to Cotulla, we've been to Beeville, we've been to other places as well. And we go in and they allow us to hand out tracts. They allow us to interact with the prisoners one-on-one while they're in their cells. And also we have a common gathering where I have preached and held a full-blown church service for them in their common area. The last time I preached, there were probably about 450 men who were able to attend. So, it's a vibrant ministry, very important ministry, I would add, too, because those men are often forgotten, looked upon as outcast. And again, we're there to share with them the hope of Jesus Christ. And no matter how bad they've messed up, no matter what's put them in that position, they can have freedom in Christ. And
you know, I've seen and I've known several people that have been in prison, and I find something that's pretty common. Not with all of them, but I find something that's pretty common is that when they were in there, they were locked up. They really started reading their Bible. They really mm-hmm. started getting more quote spiritual or religious, is what they call it. And then when they came out, they didn't. Maybe they went to church a few times, but little by little, it just kind of seemed to fade away.
Right.
How can we best capture those guys and say, hey, listen, man, you were on fire for the Lord when you were in there those past 5 years or 10 years or however long you were in there.
Right.
And just really, I think we have to be intentional with those guys.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. One of the things is to recognize that we can never know for certain whether someone is actually a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of foxhole Christians, as we call them, who turn to some sort of solace that they find in the Word of God. And those people, of course, you look at the parable of the soils, and there will be people who kind of bloom up all excited for the Word and then that wither away or so on and so forth. But I would say this as well. I've never been a proponent of what I call drive-by evangelism. I think evangelism, if you're going to evangelize the lost, you need to establish a relationship with those people. You need to follow up with them. You need to make sure that they have the resources, that they have the counseling, that they have the avenues whereby once they get out of that system, they can attach themselves to a local church. They can be ministered to by a local body of believers. That's critically important.
Absolutely.
So often we evangelize just to check off a box or to say, yes, I've done my duty.
That's so true.
We need to invest ourselves in the lives of other people. And if you're not really willing to do that, I don't know. I wouldn't advocate you becoming a part of that ministry.
It definitely is crucial. I heard somebody say that you've got about a 72-hour window from the time that person accepts the Lord as a Savior to really go in there and begin to establish him in the Word and to begin to disciple him and get him plugged into the local church and get him to bear some fruit and grow some roots. It's something that we definitely need to do because I've seen that too. There's a lot of people with great big hearts. They want to evangelize and expand the kingdom of God. And that's wonderful, but it's like a newborn baby.
Well, the freedom in that is knowing, and really listening to what the Apostle Paul said when he said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God provided the increase.
That's right.
And so that frees us up from any personal responsibility as far as their continuance in the things of the faith go. But having said that, again, you're exactly right. We have to invest ourselves in these people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't, they can see that.
Mm-hmm.
They know that we're just filling a square or doing our duty, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, we're to disciple all nations.
Yeah.
So it's our job. You mentioned Ephesians earlier, where we're to equip the saints that they do the work of the ministry.
Exactly.
So
exactly
vitally
right.
Important. Excellent. Yep. What's going on with the church itself? Anything going on this summer, or things that are? What do you guys normally do for the summer or holidays? Anything like that?
Really, during the summer, it's kind of a situation where we're paring down certain ministries. I teach a class on systematic theology on every other Saturday, and we usually take a break during the summer. Our women's ministry, we have a women's Bible study that occurs every other Monday night, and that's going to be paring down as well because, you know, people travel
sure. And
people are in and out. We do have coming up a vacation Bible school that's going to be the last week of July.
Mm-hmm.
The alternate plan is to have it the first week of August. But we have our vacation Bible school at night.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's kind of strange, but we found that works a lot better. We have it from like 6 to 8 mm-hmm. in the evening. And again, there's more information available if you want to call me on that. But that's always a good time.
Well, that's great because you get to go out and maybe spend a little bit of time with your spouse and then drop off the kids there and have them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, this year we're going to be able to minister to some of the children in the SAM shelter.
Okay.
So that'll be another important thing that we can do. And the parents are more than welcome to come as well
mm-hmm.
And be ministered to as well. So
yeah. So you mentioned earlier that about 6 months ago you took on this mantle of the sole and senior pastor there mm-hmm. at Free Grace Baptist Church.
Right.
When you close your eyes, when you spend that time with God and, you know, God's showing you the ministry, what do you see? Where is Free Grace headed?
Free Grace is headed exactly where the providence of God takes it. I really don't worry about those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not much of a visionary. I'm more of an in-the-moment kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be faithful to God and, in turn, faithful to the people there. I look at the fact that I've been made an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
I look at that and take that very, very seriously. And if you take it as seriously as one should, it's really a day-to-day thing. I pray that God would increase the church, not necessarily numerically or financially. My main concern is that God would increase the church spiritually,
mm-hmm.
that we would be who we say we are,
yeah.
that we would portray a positive witness in the community around us, that we would truly make differences in the lives of the people that we minister to. Because if we don't do that, then you know, we become ingrown. We just become a group of people speaking to ourselves each week,
yeah.
and that's not good for anybody.
That's right. How do you want people to remember you, Tim, when it's your time to go and, you know, just kind of taking a look and looking at your life and everything that you've done in ministry? What are some of the things you'd want to know that you left behind as a legacy?
I think the most important thing to be remembered for is living a life that's consistently in accordance with the Word of God.
Yeah.
If people want to write something on my tombstone, they can simply put, here lies a sinner saved by God's grace
mm-hmm.
who did the best that he could with the gifts that he had been given.
Yeah.
That's all I can expect. That's all I can ask for,
yeah.
is that God would make me faithful in that. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Pastor Tim Goad here on the Church of the Week. We're featuring Free Grace Baptist Church, and you've been listening all week. You've been hearing his great devotionals that were coming on three times a week. Pastor Tim is at Free Grace Baptist Church. They're located at 1801 Thorain Boulevard. That's off of I-10 and West Avenue inside Loop 410. Their Sunday school is on Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Worship service begins at 11 a.m. And they also have an afternoon worship service at 1:30 p.m. If you can't make it this Sunday but would like to go out there and visit them, we invite you to visit them on Wednesday at 7 p.m. as well. For more information on the VBS that's coming up this summer or anything else you might have heard that kind of caught your attention, we invite you to call them at area code 210-683-0414. And you can also go online to listen to the sermons. You can go to sermonaudio.com /Free Grace Baptist. That's sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist. Pastor, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. We pray blessings over you, your family, your ministry, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today as we featured the AM 630 KSLR Church of the Week. We hope that during this past half hour, you've got a chance to get to know the pastor and learn something about their church. We encourage you to get involved in your local community church. If you would like to nominate your pastor to be featured on an upcoming Church of the Week program, submit your nominations at KSLR.com.